I want to share with you from Psalm 118, that exact verse, where it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for this day. I want to preach on the message, "Remember What Day It Is." God bless you. You may be seated. Jay, push my sound up. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us to come together in the house of the Lord. We ask that you would guide us now and help us, God, to proclaim your truth as only you can. We surrender to the Spirit of God. We allow you to teach us. We allow you to instruct us and, Lord, to correct us in the way of righteousness that we might perform your will. We humbly ask that you bless us now in our time together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just for show of hands, how many of you have gotten to the place where sometimes you forget what day it is? You know, we are humans, and so often we need to be reminded not only what day it is, but who controls the day. Who controls the day? I was at my job, and I was thinking about some of the problems that we were facing and looking at the situations that we were dealing with. And so, Kevin, what I said to myself, this is a bad day. And God instantly corrected me. Amen. And said, "This is the day." And then he repeated, "This is the day." Then he said it again, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." What are some of the things that you're doing to your day? How do you change that day by the words you speak? How do you invite the negative thoughts to come in and bombard your mind and direct your path and lead you? If you're not paying attention, you and I can give credit for that day to something else that it really doesn't belong to. So what the psalmist is telling us in this verse, you need to remember both the maker of everything and the one who made you. He's the maker of the day, but he's also the maker of you and I. You don't just take that day because you're facing something and just give it to whatever you're facing. You're robbing God of his praise. You're robbing yourself of where you could be in Christ and how your mind could be on him, but yet you've allowed yourself to drift into these terrible waters of trials and tribulation. Now, to acknowledge God in your day does not mean that you don't say, "Well, I'm facing some difficulties. I'm facing some needs in my life." But what it does say is, wait a minute, I know the one who is in control of this. I know the one who orders my footsteps. I know the one who promised me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. That spirit of negativity and those thoughts of things going wrong will bombard your life and control you unless you make this proclamation. This is the day the Lord has made. Now, let me just give you a little bit about the Psalms. The Psalms were literally songs that people would sing. We just sung it. Psalm 118, verse 24. "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad." They were songs. And so the writer of this psalm had an intent in mind. He had something that he wanted to proclaim to every believer. And that is that when you worship God, when you praise God, you get above these situations and above these trials in life. I want to share with you several things that's very important to our praise. And I'm not going to be long preaching the message, but I want to just share with you that when you forget these things, you automatically default into talking about your problems, talking about your bad situation, talking about the things that really is weighing you down when you need God to pick you up. Let me just ask a question. How many of y'all came to church to feel bad? How many came to praise him? Yeah. and lift him up. Even though you still have the same struggles, same trials, you come because you want something to lift your burden, to help you discern and understand that God is a great God and he is worthy to be praised. So as we look at this, I want you to think about everything that doesn't belong in God's space. And then I want you to move those things out of the way and replace it with praise. Replace it with the fact that you're going to honor God no matter what. You're going to give him glory no matter what. And even though life may be filled with situations, you're not going to give your day to that. You're going to say, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Remember what day it is. Remember what day it is. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we look at the past. The psalmist looks at the past. The writer of this psalm said, wait a minute, let me remember what God has done for me. Let me reflect on what Christ means to me. We have a saying in the church, when I think about the goodness of the Lord, how many of y'all do that? And all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. How many of you do that? Notice the psalmist said, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. In other words, he was in confinement. He was in a place where he didn't know how he was going to get out. But God set him in a large place. That's what God does for you and me. We'll have these situations that tries to surround us, tries to close us in. The psalmist said, they surrounded me. They gathered around me. And when it talks about that gathering around you, it's almost like they're setting up their forces against you. And now you're locked in. Now you can't get out. Now the situations are facing you to where you feel like, okay, there's no way for me to get beyond what the enemy is trying to do to me. They'll cut off all supplies. They'll cut off everything else. But one thing that circumstance, trials, and situations cannot do, it cannot cut off your praise. You see, when you look to the left and you can't find deliverance, and you look to the right, you can't find a breakthrough, look before you and look behind you, it seems like no help is found, then look up. Amen. Your redemption draweth nigh. The psalmist wanted to remind us that God is the one who brought you through. And the fact that you may have had to go through some things, you're still here. You're still here in Jesus' name. And for that reason, you can say, this is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it because of his greatness. How many are glad today? And then as we look at the day, we think about God's presence. We think about what it means to have God on our side. And we think about not only where he brought us from, but look at how he's working in your life right now. The psalmist then goes into this praise of God by saying, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. The Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. Then he asks the question, what can man do to me? If God be for me, he is more than the world against us. What can man do to us? They can take away our life, but they can't take away our soul. And then they can't take away our life unless God allows it. We've got to give him praise. We've got to thank him for who he is and what he's done. Because the Lord truly is an awesome God. We ought to thank him and remember that today I have God's presence. Matter of fact, say that with me. Today, I have God's presence. Say it again. Today, I have God's presence. And in the presence of the Lord, there's what? Fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God will never lead you anywhere and be with you if he was just going to abandon you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is an awesome God, isn't he? Amen. And for that, we ought to give him praise. You ought to remember what day it is. Remember what day it is because you have the presence of God. But then you also have the power of God. The power of God. The psalmist in verses 14 through 16 says, the Lord is my strength. What is God to you? He's my strength. Now, when you have strength, you automatically think about weakness. So here we go. I can't do this. I can't face this. I can't deal with this. How many times has that conversation come across your mind and come to your lips every week? Lord, I stressing me out. Where's your strength coming from? Where's your energy coming from? My strength comes from the Lord. And notice he brings out, he says, and he has become my salvation, the right hand of the Lord. The right. How many of y'all are right-handed? How many of you are right-handed? How many of you are left-handed? Okay, got a few left-handed people. Now, I'm right-handed because my teacher, Ms. Blanks and Ms. Wilburn, said, you need to write with your right hand. I start off left-handed. But now, for a right-handed person, and even if a left-handed person, you know, all right, lefties. Okay. When you go to do something that requires energy, what are you going to do? You're going to use that right hand. And when you've got the right hand of God, which basically says you got the full power of God, you got the full power of God, nothing's going to happen to you that God is not going to get involved, guide you through that, and show you how strong he is. There was an occasion where the children of Israel were surrounded by the enemies, the Assyrians, and they had come to attack, and they'd laid the city in siege, and they said, we're going to attack the city, we're going to take over it, and they had surrounded the city trying to cut off all the food supplies, and God sent the word through the prophet, don't worry about them. I'm going to take care of them. And in one night, God dispatched an angel. And he went out among the enemy, and that one angel destroyed 185,000 of those troops who were outside saying, we're going to destroy your city. God destroyed them. So when your enemy surrounds you and God tells you that his angels, not one, not one angel, but his angels are with you. And matter of fact, you don't just have the angels, you've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Ghost of God that's with you now to guide you and protect you. Why are you going to be afraid of man? Why are you going to be fearful of them? Yeah, they're going to run their mouth. Yeah, they're going to get on your last nerve. Yeah, they're going to make you feel like that you whole lot of things. But when you start praising God, listen, when you start honoring God and saying the Lord is my strength and all God has to do is to dispatch his angels. Matter of fact, he didn't have to do that. All he has to do is to remind you whose child you are.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit reminds you that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't lose your joy because of what the enemy is saying. Don't lose your peace of mind because if God be for you, again, he's more than the world against you. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, remember what day it is. You know, when we think about the days of the week, by the way, the days of the week, they were actually named after or named during the time of the Hellenistic culture. They wanted everybody in the Greek influences, they wanted them to know what day it was. And so they named the days after the planets, which were really representation of the gods that they served. So you had Sunday, which is sun. Recognize the sun. All right, and then Monday was, of course, the moon, but it also represented the goddess Diana. And then you had Aries or Mars, which represented Tuesday. And then you had Wednesday or Hermes, which represented the planet Mercury. And then you had Zeus, which represented Jupiter. That's Thursday. Friday was Venus. And Saturday was Saturn. And they said, remember all of this. And the believer says, wait a minute. I don't have to go through all of that. Yes, it might be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But this is the day. Y'all ain't with me on that. Let me talk to the folk over here, all right? This is the day the Lord has made. I don't have to stop and say, wait a minute, is this the day of the sun or day of the moon or day of the stars or the day of Saturn? Or the No, no, this is one day, one day, one day. This is the day that God has given me. I'm not going to sit back and let some planet in outer space control my day. Matter of fact, I'm not going to let the situations tell me you're in something you can't get out of, because I know that this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. Even if I don't feel like it, I'm going to rejoice. Even when people are not with me, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. As a matter of fact, he says, not just me, but we. So what I'm trying to encourage some of you to do today, don't let what's going through your mind mess up your day. Don't let that struggle that you're faced with cause you to think that you don't have a tomorrow. And even if God does not give you tomorrow, he did give you, Lord have mercy, preach Coleman, he did give you today. So look at somebody, tell them today, 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 today. Don't have everything I want, but today I got something. I got joy today. I've got peace today. I've got his presence today. You know, I used to be. I'm a former Sagittarius. Notice I said former Sagittarius. Because people said because you were born at a certain time in December, that means you came under this sign and that sign. But let me tell you something. When I got up under the cross, when I got up under the cross of Jesus, when I started proclaiming the goodness of the Lord, because what I started realizing, the stars ain't got a thing to do with me. God told them, twinkle, twinkle, little star, wherever you are. But then you know what he told me? Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. And you know, people say, well, I read my horoscope. Why do you want to read a horoscope? You can read a joy scope. You can read a peace scope. You can read a gladness scope. Don't let things of this life control you. You don't belong to them. You don't belong to the sun and moon. Enjoy the sun for what he's just doing his job. The moon, they're just doing their job. Why you want to bow down to them and make them something that they are not? They're just stars. But you're a child of God, and guess who's bright in his crown? Hallelujah, somebody. I'm talking about God loving you more than you could ever love yourself. And what you got to do is recognize the one who has authority over your life. You allow these things to come in and steal, well, we allow these things to come in and steal our day unless we're reminded what day it is. We got to remind it about the past. We need reminders of that to remember where the Lord has brought us from. We need to be reminded of his presence, that he's always with us, his power, that it's always available to the believer. But then we're also reminded of my proclamation. This is what I'm going to proclaim. This is what I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to proclaim that this is the day. Notice God sent Adam to name things, right? He said, Adam, name it. And Adam went out, he named all the animals and all the trees. And evidently he must have named the days of the week, but somehow or another we forgot all about that. And we need to start remembering the goodness of the Lord. Remember when you didn't have anything, and remember where the Lord brought you from. You make that proclamation. You make the statement over your day. You start acknowledging who he is. And then lastly, you have to acknowledge with your own praise. Don't let somebody, oh my goodness. Can I tell y'all this? Every time something good happens and you don't give God praise, a rock gets nervous. That rock starts to tremble. Say, wait a minute, God's going to get me to give their testimony. You know what he said? Because if you don't praise me, if you don't honor me, the rocks will cry out. Come on, somebody. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and the people started murmuring, and why are all these people giving you praise? And Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Guess what? I don't want any rock. I don't know whether y'all gonna join me now, but I don't want no rock taking my place. I got a praise of my own. See, the rock didn't get the blessing, I did. The rock didn't get the breakthrough, I did. The rock doesn't have God walking with them, I do. And every day he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. And the joy. You ever walked along with somebody and the thing they were telling you has just got gooder and gooder? That's the best I can come up with. Because when you say best, amen, that means the top. But every time I talk with Jesus, it just gets gooder and gooder. Are you with me? That's because you have his presence, and that praise should always be with you. He said, you're my God. I will praise you. You're my God. I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? I told you, got gooder and gooder, right? When you walk with good, you're going to get good. Y'all don't hear me preaching today. Look. All right, I'm almost done, almost done. For his mercy endures forever. I learned something the other day when I was looking at this passage, and I learned that it's not just mercy and goodness are following you. That's not what he's talking about. Can I take y'all to the country? Can I take y'all to the country? By this time of the year, they're starting to go out and they start hunting. You see these guys with these orange caps on, they're out there hunting. That's because my brother Lester didn't know how to discern between a deer and everybody else. So one reason why I don't hunt today, you know, we went rabbit hunting, and I told him, I said, you gotta watch where I am, right? He heard some rustle, and I could feel the breeze of the... Anyway, that's a long story. Okay. Y'all still here? But what this man by the name of Mr. Dave Powell had these hunting dogs, and you could hear them far away when they would get the scent of a deer, and they start chasing after it, pursuing after it. And the closer they got, the more they'd get that song, that old hound dog just really calling out now. Mr. Powell said, he close now. Now, when you have goodness and mercy, they don't just walk behind you. They are pursuing you. So when you start hearing and feeling God's goodness, that means it's about to catch up with you. Lord, have mercy on somebody. That means it's almost got a hold of you. And all you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of God. Sure, I know y'all said, I never heard that scripture exegeted like that. I'm just from the country. I'm just giving you what I know. Amen? Surely his mercy and his goodness pursues us. It pursues us. And whatever God pursues, he catches up with. And whatever he catches up with, he lays his hands on it. And I'm telling you, that's when you start understanding the joy of the Lord. Lastly, if we're going to give him our praise, we got to proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. Three things that are important to every day that you live. From this moment on, what I want you to do is stop giving your day to what you're going through. From this moment on. Here's the first way that you do that. Number one, recognize God. Notice it says, this is the day, all right, the Lord has made. Recognize God. Recognize who he is, but recognize also what he means to you. Recognize God in all of your ways. How many? All of your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Then, secondly, rely on God. Why are you going to trust someone else? All right, let me help you out. If they let you down yesterday, all right? And I know they mean you well. When I'm going to help you. Trust me. You need the Lord to help you. Amen? I'm not saying we don't need people in this world, but you better trust who God sends rather than picking your... I'm sorry. So you rely on God, rely on his strength to guide you and protect you. Because it's the Lord. Listen, God's not just walking with you. He's building you. God is putting the pieces of your life together so that your life means something. Why do you think you come to church? Is it just some random thing you do? Or at the end of every week, I'm going to go to church? That's where you hear God's word. And then when you get out of here, you go and put that word into practice so that now what you heard has now become the pattern for the way you live. God is, he's restoring you. He's making you what you ought to be. Amen. How many of you would admit, I'm not where I need to be? But how many of you raise the other hand and say, I'm not where I used to be? Don't give him another praise because he's worthy. Amen. So we recognize God. We rely on God. But then we rejoice in God. We rejoice in God. What I'm afraid of is that there are a lot of people. Listen, there are a lot of people. They only praise God when they get on top of the mountain. You know, they get something new. Praise God. Hallelujah. When they don't get something new, I don't know what to say. Lord ain't blessing me. Well, the fact that he gave you another breath, that ought to count for something. Gave you another heartbeat, that ought to count for something. So rejoice in God. And the more you start rejoicing, listen, this is what I learned this past week. This is what I learned. While I was giving my time to talking about the bad stuff that was going on in the, by the way, you're going to always have folk doing crazy stuff. And I'm saying to myself, this don't make no kind of sense. These educated people are doing stupid stuff. I'm just murmuring. And then the Lord reminded me, this is the day. This is the day. In other words, you better pay attention, because when you're not rejoicing, look at what happens now. You can spend all your day looking down at the ground. You can spend all your day looking down at your shoes and worried about how bad life is on that level. Or you can look up. So, my goodness, look at all of what's happening here. God has his display of his goodness and mercy every day to show you. But if you're walking in fear, in doubt, in all of these bad things that are happening, in other words, if you spend all your time looking around you at what folks are doing, you're going to go crazy.
Amen.
But when you start looking up and recognizing how good God is, how merciful he is, and how he keeps you every day, that's when you're going to start rejoicing. That's when you're going to start recognizing that the Lord is good, and you're going to start relying on his goodness to take you through every situation. Guess what? You come this far by faith.
Amen.
You've made it this far.
Yeah.
He's kept you this long.
Yeah.
So what makes you think that he's going to give up on you now? Every day that you wake up, just say, you know what? That's my alarm clock. I'm going to wake up to a praise. I'm going to wake up to the goodness of God. I'm going to wake up to the mercy of the Lord, because his mercy endures forever and his truth to all generations. Give the Lord another hand as we close. Amen. Father, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love and your grace. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But knowing that you kept us, knowing that, Lord, you have provided for us, it's not only made a way for us, but helped us to rejoice and to proclaim that this is the day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your goodness. Bless us now, God. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all the believers said, amen. I'm going to extend the invitation if there be one today, perhaps. You've never made a decision for Christ, and you want to do so. We invite you to come today, if there be one. Maybe you'd like to become a part of our church. We invite you to do so. Let's all stand. Doors of the church are open, and Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come.